firstly, can you explain to us what are Australia's anti-siphoning laws?
Yeah, it's a great question. And basically, in the 1990s, with the advent of pay TV and its introduction, the government introduced legislation to try to protect the ability of consumers to watch sport on free-to-air, because the fear was that pay TV would gobble it all up and would lose our access to it. So it's really just legislation that ensures that certain sport events have to be on free-to-air television.
And yet now we seem to be seeing this move, or, you know, is this isolated examples, or are we seeing this move from free-to-air television over to pay TV?
Yeah, it's fair to say that the legislation, which of course is now nearly 30 years old, is definitely starting to get dated. You know, obviously in the 1990s, we didn't have the digital advancement that we now have. So, you know, the legislation just talks about sport being freely available, and increasingly there have been ways and loopholes to get around it. So when Cricket Australia signed their deal with Channel 7, they were able to get a one-day international men's cricket from free-to-air onto pay TV, because they were able to basically look at the wording of the legislation and basically circumvent it to get what was previously on free-to-air for many, many years onto pay TV. And we've lost now men's international ODI cricket. So that was the starting point, and netball now risks making that the tipping point.
So just to sort of underline that, I mean, we look at something like the streaming platform Kayo. It meets the requirements by sort of broadcasting through the app. So essentially, the loophole we're looking at here is you can have these on your paid services, but as long as they're available somehow, like through an app, to non-paying individuals, you are sort of free to broadcast it typically on your paid service.
Yeah, that's right. So the law basically just refers to, you know, certain content being available free to the general public. And so with Kayo's new freemium model, whereby some content will be in front of the paywall rather than behind the paywall, logically that meets the definition of being available to free. But from the free-to-air industry's perspective, Channel 9, 7, 10, you know, this poses a huge risk to them if Kayo can all of a sudden meet the anti-siphoning list by having certain minimum requirements in front of the paywall.
And I guess if we're looking at it from the perspective of concern for actual Australians wanting to access the content, it's more about accessibility. I mean, theoretically, these things are free, but they're certainly not as accessible as they once were on free-to-air television.
That's right. I mean, the rollout of the NBN now, I believe, 100% complete, so we have better access to internet than we've previously had. So streaming is easier to do now than it perhaps once was. But the point remains that an individual still has to sign up and surrender their email and details to access this so-called free content on Kayo, or if someone makes something like Kayo, which is equivalent. So it's not really quite as free as it once was when, you know, we could just flick on the television and, you know, have it beamed into our lounge rooms.
Should the government be intervening on behalf of free-to-air in this situation? Is this one where the government should be getting concerned, or indeed updating some of that legislation?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer to that is that Liberal governments have tended to not be as diligent in terms of trying to protect consumers' access to sport. And in fact, the anti-siphoning list overall is due to expire in April, and the government hasn't yet committed to renewing it. So there's actually more fundamental questions about whether the anti-siphoning list is even going to exist in more than a month's time. And if it's not renewed, then this whole topic becomes moot, because there will no longer be an anti-siphoning list.
Now, as we say, you've been looking into this one obviously fairly thoroughly for this upcoming book, Code Wars. In terms of the sporting landscape here in Australia and the implications these deals have had, what do you make of it? Do we see a shift in this landscape, and are we likely to see that shift continue until there is very little sport broadcast on free-to-air?
Yeah, it's definitely a big question, and one that has huge ramifications for both sport administrators and for fans of our football and broader sports. And so, you know, the digitalization of content means that increasingly content holders can use analytics to figure out what value these content providers provide their platforms. And really, that's been the basis for which Foxtel has said that for them, their focus is basically rugby league, AFL, cricket and Formula One, and they're not interested in what they've called, you know, non-tier one sports. And the ability of sport to move to these program to these platforms has really given analytical power to the analysis of, you know, what content drives viewers and subscriptions. And what we've seen from that is that essentially some sports have lost out and others have become more prominent. So there's definitely a risk as we move to this digital future that the rich sports will continue to get richer, and the divide between those sort of wealthier top-tier sports and the less wealthy sports could actually continue to exacerbate.
And just finally, the risk for the free-to-air networks themselves. Sport is kind of the ultimate in event television. You know, it's the only thing that can kind of get people glued onto something as it's happening rather than streaming it later. You know, they're obviously aiming for that in a lot of the free-to-air networks at the moment. Can free-to-air survive without sport?
That's a really significant question. And without sitting on the fence, it is difficult to imagine a prosperous free-to-air industry without sport, simply because even without the departure of sport from free-to-air television, the projections for revenue was that free-to-air's market share of advertising revenue was expected to decline from 20% a couple of years ago to only 14% in 2023. So increasingly, the advertising market is shifting to greater investment in digital advertising. So already the trends are going against free-to-air television, and also demographically, less younger people watch conventional linear television to begin with. And we know that sport, you know, only accounts for about 10% of commercial television time, but regularly produces the highest rating programs. So in the context of a platform already expected to have declining revenue, the loss of sport could really be a hammer blow that could lead to a tipping point that leads to its, you know, ultimate demise.
Well, Hunter, do appreciate your time on this one. It'll be very intriguing to see what happens next.
Absolutely.